Tom.
This is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off hour number three of the live Saturday edition. And you can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. That is the packet 8.net toll-free line for you. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
That's 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website as well at freetalklive.com. All the features there, we give them away. And those other radio talk show hosts want to charge you for them. So try it out for free at freetalklive.com. As we go to the phones, to the fun, Al has been waiting patiently in Florida, listening on WFTL. Hello, Al. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, Ian and Mark.
Hey, Al. What's on your mind?
Great show. This is the first time I've tuned into you on this station. I listen to it most of the time, but usually not at this hour.
Great. Well, we're glad you're out there, and we're actually going to be on WFTL from here on out on Saturday nights from 7 to 9. Unfortunately, right now, this hour, you've got some crackpot who claims to talk to ghosts or something. So what you might want to do, Al, is take a moment to contact Ken Pauley, the program director there at WFTL. Thank him for putting Free Talk Live on and ask him to expand the show.
I will do that. Ken Pauley?
Yeah, he's the program director, and that applies to everybody listening on a local radio station. Call your local program director and thank him for airing Free Talk Live. So, Al, what's on your mind?
Oh, just a couple of things. First, I was very impressed with Jim Badcock. It was a toss-up between trying to call you and trying to run to the computer and check out downsizedc.org.
Yes, it's actually Jim Babka, but I don't think he would be too concerned with
Babko.
It. He's a good guy, Jim Babka. So, yes, what else was on your mind?
I'm just in sort of a dilemma state here. My wife and I are both retired school teachers from Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and we bought a dream home retirement place here in Florida to spend our winters. They call us snowbirds down here. I guess you're probably familiar with that term.
Yeah, we're both former Florida natives. We lived there for a long time. But yes,
since it's snowbird season down there, can they shoot them?
Definitely snowbird season. It gets real busy down in Palm Beach County during this time of the year.
I believe it.
Anyway, I think I was a little bit lost politically back in Michigan and feeling a little bit better about things in Florida. At times we thought maybe our Florida dream home is turning into a nightmare. But
really, why?
Well, politically things are just really confusing in Florida. The tax bill and the property insurance bills are both just out of sight down here. But
are you in Palm Beach? Where are you at?
We're in Palm Beach County, just a mile, just a few blocks actually, south of Palm Beach.
That's one of the more ritzy, I guess, areas of Florida. So I guess that explains why your property taxes are so high.
Well, it's the whole state of Florida, really. And the ironic thing is they've just been featuring a lot of the Donald Trump stories with his big flag flying over Mar-a-Lago, and he brought out the point that Palm Beach County is probably one of the wealthiest counties. But there's an awful lot of just very average people like us that live in this area as well.
And sure there are. It's a big county.
A lot of people being forced out of their domicile by the size of the tax bill and the property.
It's true. That's actually, I remember before we left, we used to live in Sarasota on the West Coast, and I remember before we left seeing an article in the newspaper, Mark, about some of the older retired folk in Sarasota who just can't keep up. I mean, they don't have the income coming in for the property taxes that they're being required to pay on their property, and they're selling their houses and moving in the center of state,
out
of state.
No, wait a second. That's not so. Florida's a homestead state, and they can only raise your property taxes by 3% a year if it's your residence.
If it's your residence.
Right. Now, and you, I know, move back and forth between Michigan. I would recommend that you consider Florida your home state.
Well, that's one of the things we're strongly considering. And like I said, being represented by people like Carl Levin and Debbie Stabenow in Michigan in our United States Senate has made me think maybe it'd be a wise move to come down here. The new governor, Crist, has done some fantastic work with the legislature here in reducing the property tax burden. At least it's supposed to happen.
Crist is a good fiscal conservative,
yep.
But he's also loves to lock people up. I mean, you know,
as far as
he's concerned, if you've got three baby aspirin in your pocket, go to jail.
Gosh.
I mean, I'm sorry, he's just a huge drug warrior. So anyway, when it comes to people moving out of the richer counties into the poorer counties of Florida, mostly what they're doing is they're giving up their homestead exemption on that house, they're taking it on another one, and they're cashing in and selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're cashing in, but they're also being, if they want to live in a home similar to the one they leave, they're hit with a new property tax that's going to be a lot higher than what they
absolutely.
Had.
If you change homes for something similar,
you're buying at a higher rate.
Even if you get something smaller, you know,
your taxes
may
be higher.
Your taxes may very well be higher.
Mess.
But if you move, and Palm Beach County does have some of the highest taxes. I can tell you, I lived in Manatee and Sarasota counties, which is on the other side of the state, and, you know, there was a big difference in the taxes.
Between
those two
counties. Right?
Yeah, it was higher in Sarasota. There's between the two counties, and I bought one in 2001. I bought one in 2004, and those years were huge for property increases,
well,
you know, the value.
If you think it's bad down in Florida, it's even worse up in up here in New Hampshire. It's I'm paying $6,000 a year on a property valued at $230,000. I mean, it's just,
wow.
It's crazy up here. And that's because New Hampshire gets the bulk of their government funding from the property tax. There's no state income tax.
Uh-huh.
There's no state sales tax. So something we're going to be gearing up for up here soon is a fight. We're going to try to get them to get rid of this property tax, but that means we're going to have to seriously cut the size of government.
What I don't like about property taxes is if I don't agree with something the county's doing, like, say, I don't believe in public school for whatever reason.
Yeah, government school.
It's a free country. I can believe in whatever I want to believe in. I have to give my money or they're going to come and take my house away.
Right.
I mean, what kind of violent person would come and take a person's house away? But that's what property taxes are.
One of Chris' proposals, and I think I go along with it, is to reduce or eliminate the property tax and increase the sales tax.
Yikes. See, the problem is, though, I mean, with proposals like that, is they're just shifting the government's weight around. They're not doing anything to reduce the size of government.
Absolutely.
They're just shifting it, and it's just a waste of time. Why can't we have someone propose, hey, let's slash this program, cut this program, let the market handle this, let the market handle education, and then we can completely eliminate both property taxes and the sales tax. Al, thank you for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231, the packet 8.net toll free line. Since we were talking about some sort of big business issues at the end of hour number two, I want to continue that theme with an email from Jess. He says, hey guys, got a couple of questions that have been bugging me, and I hope you can answer them. I guess my beliefs are more on par with Ian's, and I'm specifically interested in what he has to say on this. The first question I've got is, if we manage to completely get rid of the government, and we're a totally free market country, what would stop companies and businesses from using any caution in regards to the environment, the habitat around them, and the people they might be affecting?
So this is more of a question for you, because I don't really subscribe in the totally free market country. So he's asking you.
For example, what would stop a chemical company from dumping tons and tons of toxic waste into the river right next to the chemical plant? The toxins would kill all of the life in the river, possibly affect the water or soil of land they don't own, as well as drifting into the ocean and polluting it. If they owned that river and there were no laws backed by force which told them otherwise, why would they use any caution? Well, in a smaller government world, and I know his question was in a no-government world, but in a smaller government world, people would actually be able to own property like rivers and lakes and that sort of thing. And it's actually done today. I've actually seen a privately owned lake, and it was in very nice condition.
Sure. I'm looking at a piece of property that has a little creek that goes through it. Sure.
And if somebody downstream from you starts polluting, then you've got a lawsuit on your hands. You can actually bring them into court. Now, if you change the and take it to court and have the court decide, yeah, you're polluting this guy's river, that's wrong. Now you need to make compensation and stop doing it. If you take the government court out of the picture, then we just simply replace that with arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
People would privately own land. They would privately own waterways, that sort of thing. If you could prove that that you were being polluted by a certain organization, you take that that organization to arbitration, and the third-party arbitrator, the individual, the corporation, or I guess they wouldn't be corporations, the companies and the people that would be arbitrating these decisions have it in their best interest to come out with a fair decision. And because if they aren't fair, then nobody will use their services. So they come out with a fair decision that says, hey, you can't do this anymore. You need to clean this up, or else we're going to your reputation is going to be seriously damaged. And a company that has a damaged reputation is going to find it more difficult for them to get insurance providers, for them to get all sorts of different vendors and contracts and that sort of thing. So it'll be in their best interest, because they want to have a nice public image, don't they? I mean, you don't want to be known as the polluter,
and
do you?
Also, you know, we advocate a loser pay system. So even poor people that are affected, is all they have to do is convince a lawyer, look, I've been harmed here, and we're going to win this case. And then
right.
The lawyer's essentially going after the other people in order to get paid.
I think most arbitration systems would be a loser pay system, because that would be what was in demand. 800-259-9231. More about evil corporations on the way. It is Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photos, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Shelly, you look Oh, wait, why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bed, F-A-N.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up anything, toll-free number for you, 1-800-259-9231. The Packet 8.net toll-free line. Dean here with you.
And Mark.
Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. You can also join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there, we give them away. And that does include the bulletin board system. Over 180,000 posts, over 1,400 people interacting. It's completely free. BBS.freetalklive.com. That's BBS.freetalklive.com. And does your company have a bunch of unpaid receivables just sitting out there? Well, try SACL CAI. They do collection in a whole new way. SACL knows that the way they treat your customer reflects on you. They record every customer interaction so you can check their work. Let SACL CAI handle any or all of your accounts receivable needs. See their banner at freetalklive.com or call 1-800-544-6359. That's 800-544-6359. And do business with businesses that support Free Talk Live. Back into the email box. Again, your calls are primary about anything at 800-259-9231. But Jess had another question. He started out with an environmental concern, but and sort of all of his questions here have to do with big companies and being evil to their little people. So here's the second question. If we manage to completely rid the world of government, talk about a vision, where the whole world was openly accessible, no border restrictions, no trade restrictions, etc., what would stop corporations or businesses from going into an area with a lot of poor, starving, desperate people, setting up a factory, and offering them potentially dangerous jobs at slave wages?
Well, what would stop them at the slave wages portion is, by the way, lots of people do potentially dangerous jobs for high wages. And that's what, you know, that's what separates. That's why people are willing to do them, is because they're high wages.
Right.
Now, in some countries, people are paid less than they are in the United States. I don't think that that makes what those people, comparatively what those people are making, slave wages. They could be being paid three times what a farmer does in that particular country. Now, you can compare it to here and say, oh my God, they're getting paid the equivalent of 25 cents an hour. That's terrible.
Right.
But what if their alternative is getting paid 5 cents an hour by working as a farmhand on some rice paddy farm someplace?
Right.
Are you going to deny them that 25 cent an hour job? Because what you're doing is you're denying them good work.
Right. And the question, the simple answer to his question is, what would stop them from exploiting so-called their workers, setting up a factory and offering them potentially dangerous jobs at slave wages, would be those individuals.
Yes,
who would
absolutely.
Take the jobs. They would say, what? You want me to stick my hand near this buzzsaw for, you know, this amount of money? Forget that.
Right. I mean, here's the question is, I mean, would you be willing to paint smokestacks for $5 an hour?
No.
On a rickety little platform?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Well, because it's dangerous and you're not getting paid enough. But would you be willing to paint smokestacks for $500 an hour?
Sure, just give me an respirator or something like that so I don't get poisoned.
Well, you paint the outside, not the inside.
Oh, okay.
I assume they don't paint the inside. It doesn't seem like it would do much good.
Gotcha.
You know, and it's relative. People are willing to work for what they're willing to work for, and who am I to tell them that they can't do dangerous, quote-unquote, dangerous work? People do dangerous work all the time. What about the electrical linemen that bring us power? Are they somehow exempt from this? Those guys fall off those things and they get shocked all the time. They die.
He says, essentially, I'm talking about exploitation. What would prevent them from exploiting people when there's a large profit to be made? Well, the people. The people who would be choosing to work or not work for those individual companies. Certainly, he says, the workers themselves wouldn't stand up for their rights, because if they did, the company would just move to another area with similarly desperate people, and the workers would go back to starving. I understand that they're giving the workers jobs they wouldn't have otherwise, but I think there's some moral line that should be drawn. To take it to an even greater extreme, before we go on to his next extreme, what else? The other thing that would prevent the workers from being so-called exploited, beyond the fact that the workers get to choose to work for these companies or not, is another company coming in and competing. So, Mark, let's say you're an exploitative individual and you've got a big factory manufacturing shoes, and you want to build it in some S-hole of a country, and because there's no other shoe manufacturers, in fact, there's no other manufacturers there at all. You're going to be the only manufacturing company there, and so you can exploit these people to no end. If they want to get off the farm, as many of them do,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to work in your factory.
Okay.
And you've started to take advantage of them, and these desperate, poor fools that aren't apparently able to make sensible decisions for themselves come in and start working for you. Well, then I see an opportunity because as an enterprising individual, I see that you aren't exactly treating your employees as well as you could be. I know that you're making a pretty decent profit on those shoes, and I know that I can actually make a slightly lower profit and also pay these people better because, well, I know they're going to come in droves to my business if I open up shop across the street or across town. So I go in and set up my own shoemaking company and step into the business and say, come on over here. We're going to give you 15-minute breaks every 4 hours. We've got air conditioning. We've got a nice place to work, and we're going to pay you a little bit more as well.
You know,
guess what's going to happen to your workforce?
Well, the workforce is going to leave if that's what's offered, obviously. They're going to take their labor, which they're the business that sells their labor. They're going to take it, and they're going to go sell their labor to you instead of to me. In that case, now let's look at coffee, for instance. People in Latin American countries have a tendency to make less than they do in the United States, but there has been a whole industry, a whole brand of coffee out there called Fair Trade Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Fair Trade Coffee claims to pay its, pay a fair wage to coffee workers for their product.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine how this must screw up the economy, how things must, I mean, people must be vying to get the Fair Trade Coffee to sell their stuff to them. But they probably have the best beans as a result.
Yeah.
So this is people buy this fair trade coffee in order to be fair to people in Latin America. Some people do this. So they have their own market niche, which is, I don't exploit people with my, major brand coffee. Right. I buy fair trade coffee, and it's so much better.
They're actually using the ignorance of Americans to... essentially profit on this very expensive coffee.
It's niche.
Because Americans don't realize that these people that are making 25 cents an hour, as you pointed out before, are actually doing fairly well. And anybody that goes into a factory where people like Jess will believe that they're being exploited, you have to remember, they're making a choice. They've chosen to go and work under those conditions.
Every single day.
Yeah, it was their option, and they could have very well have chosen to stay home on the farm, but they didn't. People should be free to make those choices. His next extreme example is, what would prevent someone from going to an area with desperately poor people, picking up a few young girls, and sexually exploiting them by offering them a house to live in and food to eat? Again, the girls wouldn't stand up for themselves because the alternative is to go back to being starving. Now, I really despise government and think its current form is contrary to general human nature, but how could something like this be enforced, and where do you draw the line? Well, go look at desperately poor countries and look at what some of the women in those countries do. They sell their bodies for cash because there's so many regulations in places like India and other impoverished areas.
They sell their bodies for cash every place.
It's true, but really there are certain countries where they just don't have a lot of options. They don't have the government education system is dismal, and these people are virtually useless. They don't have a lot of opportunity. So one of the things they can do is break the law and sell their bodies. So this is going on right now. It may sound exploitative and it may sound terrible, but if it's helping keep people alive, who am I to question it? More on the way. You take control of the airwaves. Free Talk Live.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Are you tired of searching for Freak Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Freak Talk Live. It's your show. You bring us anything live, Saturday edition. Take control of the airwaves toll free at 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
That's 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free, including the live streams, broadband version of the show, dial-up version, both totally free, freetalklive.com.
What's your liberty issue? The war on drugs? Register now for the February 2007 New Hampshire Liberty Forum. Speakers include Jack Cole, Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and Rob Campia, Executive Director of the Marijuana Policy Project. New Hampshire residents who are working to end the war on drugs. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. That's FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum.
1-800-259-9231. I wanted to refocus on the last section of Jess's email to us about this, you know, world without government. What would happen, he says, or she, I'm not sure, if someone were to move into an area with desperately poor people, pick up a few young girls, and then sexually exploit them by offering a house to live in and food to eat. Well, I don't know what he means by young girls, but here in the United States, here in America, it's not necessarily against the law. I think it is in some places, but it's not necessarily against the law to offer somebody free rent in return for sex. I mean, what's wrong with that? It's a voluntary choice. If you're not forcing someone into this situation, if they're free to leave, then I don't see what the problem is.
Certainly some relationships are essentially that. You know, I mean, hey, you stay here and do whatever you want at the house all day, and I'll go out and earn the money and pay for all the bills, and we'll
is
have
that exploiting?
Sex every now and then. I don't know.
It's a choice. All of these are choices. All of the things we've been talking about, people working in dangerous factories, choice.
As long as you don't have the laws outlawing people's activities, then you're going to have the mob get involved. Once you outlaw prostitution, then you're going to have
dangerous
pimps and all kinds of people that are involved in it, and there people are going to get hurt, and there's going to be social diseases, and you know this is where the problems in these things occur with regulation. That's why there's people dying in the streets over drugs right now. People getting shot, people's homes being wrecked, broken into. People are getting their throats slit for $50 so that somebody can buy crack.
Well, speaking of people dying in the streets, that perfectly ties into where I wanted to go, which was Walter Block at LouRockwell.com talking about New Orleans, which apparently is where he lives, and how to radically lower the number of murders in New Orleans. We talked a couple weeks ago about Mayor Nagin's proposal, right? He's got this proposal to put up video cameras everywhere and more checkpoints, police checkpoints. That'll put a stop to the murders. This police crackdown that he's suggesting. And Mr. Block has an alternative solution to lower the number of murders in New Orleans. He says New Orleans is now undergoing an unprecedented murder rate, even for the big uneasy. How can we dig our way out of this morass? The usual suspect solutions have all been tried, and they've not worked in the past, and they won't help us now. According to the conventional wisdom, the way to stop people from shooting at each other is to improve our public schools, promote daycare, stop the drug trade with stiffer sentences, start midnight basketball leagues, bring in the social workers, promote religion, subsidize parenting skills, introduce citizenship and ethics classes in high school, and the list of ineptitude goes on and on. These remedies are either focused way too far in the long run to be even relevant to our critical short-run problems,
right,
or have never addressed and cannot solve such challenges, or are actually counterproductive, exacerbating murder rates, not diminishing them. So let's take a deep breath, open our minds, and consider something radical.
Okay.
Something way off the beaten track. Let us legalize all drugs. All of them, without exception, preeminently including marijuana, cocaine, and yes, even heroin. What does this have to do with the gigantic number of murders now afflicting New Orleans? Plenty. An inordinate amount of these episodes consists of drug dealers shooting each other in turf wars. End the prohibition, and this viciousness stops right in its tracks. Nor are these murders likely because aspirin companies aren't murdering one another over aspirin territories.
They aren't, no.
And Budweiser isn't murdering its competitors either.
No, Miller Lite agents have been killed.
Nor are these murders likely to end anytime soon. Things of this sort were kept down to a dull roar before Hurricane Katrina. A sort of equilibrium was attained. Every gang knew its place, at least roughly. Property rights in street corners and back alleyways were semi-established. Yes, from time to time there was a bit of bloodletting, as criminals served their sentences and tried to reclaim what used to be their territory, or as dealers were killed or retired, and many wars broke out until the new pecking order was established. And from what he's saying, that's pretty much an accurate picture of how the black market works. People in the business, they know who's around and whose toes not to step on, because they don't want to die. But then came the failure of the levies. Our dealers tried to set up shop in Houston, Memphis, Atlanta, and other such refuges. The local denizens didn't appreciate that one bit. Conflagrations broke out there. Then, as the Crescent City began to repopulate, heroin entrepreneurs began trickling back amongst the crowds. Paradoxically, this increase in crime in the temporary refuge cities from which these gangsters were emigrating, and also in New Orleans as they arrived back here, actually it increased crime in those places, for both the egress and ingress set up jurisdictional disputes over turf, and the battle lines were drawn again and again in blood. This inflated murder rate will only recede to pre-Katrina levels, which were horrible enough in that bygone area, when post-hurricane movement of population slows down to previous levels, and that point might not be reached for decades. It's thus time, past time, to drain the swamps instead of following our present policy of fighting the alligators, legalizing addictive drugs. Every last one of them will stop all this gang warfare for sure and immediately. Why? Well, if marijuana, heroin, etc. were legal, it would be sold in ordinary, legitimate stores like pharmacies.
You know, if somebody doesn't believe this, let's think about the Al Capone era. When Prohibition was in place, that's how the mobsters managed to make all this money. They made millions
off
of this.
Al Capone would have been a no one if it weren't for Prohibition.
Absolutely. Prohibition put it on the map, and as soon as Prohibition was repealed, all the mobsters went away. All the people being gunned down in the streets went away. Now, do you think the police wanted Prohibition to go away? No way they wanted that to happen. No way they wanted that to happen. But the American people demanded it. And as soon as the American people finally wake up and realize what's going on with the war on drugs, they'll demand that that stops too.
Yeah, and it'll come to a grinding halt. Anyways, Walter Block points out, so legitimate sales at places like stores and pharmacies would replace the present fly-by-night murderous operators. Customers would simply rather purchase brand-name cocaine replete with labels, money-back guarantees in case of defective products, as in the case of all other consumption goods. I mean, look at the bag of Doritos. You flip that thing over, and there's that guarantee at the bottom. You know, you don't like this product? Even local stores, even private labels, you know, you're not satisfied with this product, call this number, we'll buy it back from you. Standard Business Ventures have a comparative advantage over hoodlums whose only specialty resides in violence. In fact, when alcohol was prohibited from 1920 to 1933, gangs fought it out in the streets with machine guns for the right to sell their bathtub gin. Innocent bystanders were killed in the crossfire, just as happens at present. Backwoods stills killed even more with their battery acid products. Nowadays, peace reigns in this industry. Johnny Walker and Four Roses compete with each other, not with bullets, but in terms of the traditional commercial aspects of price, advertising, availability, quantity, reputation, etc. The mafia is not involved.
Quality.
No one dies. No one in the creation, manufacture, wholesaling, distribution, transportation, retailing of this product. For similar reasons, the same beneficial effects will ensue when and as soon as we legalize drugs. But will we not die like flies from these addictive substances once they're legalized? There's no more reason to think so than to believe that when the prohibition of booze ended, it encouraged an orgy of drunkenness. Pretty much the same people who liquored up before 1920 did so after 1933. And there's every reason to believe that drug legalization would follow the same path. Those who now abuse drugs will still likely continue to do so. Is there anyone now who refrains from their use simply because they're illegal? I know the illegality didn't stop me. Did it stop you from using drugs, Mark, the times you've done them?
No, not once.
Yes, both drugs and alcohol will remain medical problems post-legalization. Addiction is going to continue to be a problem, whether or not these drugs are legal or not. But the crime will be eradicated from both. Now, so far, Mr. Block says he's attempted to show that the best last hope for New Orleans in eliminating the scourge of murders presently besetting us was to legalize drugs, and we'll continue with a few interesting pointers on legalization and questions about it coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
How are you feeling today? I ask because if you have health challenges, then reading our free booklet about the most amazing discovery of our time is crucial. The booklet is about an amazing fruit from Southeast Asia they call mangosteen. It's a centuries-old medicinal fruit whose time has come and it has amassed 40 years of published research. We have information and testimonials from all over the world about the health potentials of this amazing fruit. This powerful botanical has contributed to the well-being of millions of people the world over with health concerns just like yours. You can have the 22-page e-booklet absolutely free. We'll also refer you a website with links to actual testimonials and product information. Could this fruit help you in your quest for total health? Find out why mangosteen is known as the queen of all fruits and why it is fast becoming the best-selling wellness product ever brought to the market. Your health is in your hands. Do something about it today. Call 800-681-1909. Again, that's 800-681-1909.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. We also do credit restoration. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. And Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, the live Saturday edition. Only moments remain, but just enough time for your call. If you make it now at 1-800-259-9231, that is the Packet 8.net toll-free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231 in here with you.
And Mark?
And you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. Enjoy all the features there because they are completely free. Though we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by buying some stuff at Amazon. Head over to amazon.freetalklive.com. Don't enter their site any other way. Because if you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com, Mark, what happens?
Well, we get a little percentage. Free Talk Live gets a percentage, and, it's nice.
Yeah, it is, and you get the stuff you need delivered to your door, in many cases, with free Super Saver shipping, 35 categories to shop in, big high-ticket dollar items all the way down to little stuff. I mean, they really have it all. And so enter and start your shopping experience at amazon.freetalklive.com. Help support Free Talk Live. Great way to do it. We're talking about legalization of all drugs. And Walter Block at LouRockwell.com is pointing out that New Orleans right now has a serious murder problem, more so than they've ever had in the past. And I think his suggestion is accurate as to why. It's because the population has been so shifted around there that when people started coming back into the city, the turf wars started up all over again. What had formerly been a sort of a stalemate between the gangs where they sort of, to some extent, respected each other's areas or turf and very, very seldomly clashed over it. Now they're clashing all the time as new people are coming in attempting to get a foothold in the heroin market and the cocaine market and all the illicit drugs.
Well, I mean, you know, things were established prior to the hurricane and the levees breaking. After that, basically, you know, the old people wanted to go in and reestablish, and new people wanted to come in and establish their businesses, and everything was wide open. So it's turf wars. It's on.
He says, Walter says, legalize heroin, cocaine, and marijuana, and such conflagrations will immediately cease, as they did when alcohol prohibition was ended in 1933. I now wish to consider and reject several objections to this very sensible plan. Many of you listening may be having these objections in your mind, but you didn't feel like calling in. I think Mr. Block's going to do a fine job of rebutting them. Number one, here are the potential objections to legalization. If people drive while under the influence of drugs, the enormous increase in traffic fatalities will more than offset any savings of lives due to the elimination of murderous wars over drug turf. Not so. Drugs can be treated in roughly the same manner as alcohol. It's legal to use the latter product, but not to drive while intoxicated. In like manner, it would no longer be a crime to erase brain cells with heroin, but it would be if you got behind the wheel of a car. And besides, as I like to point out, the laws aren't stopping heroin addicts from driving right now.
Right. I mean, can you imagine? Heroin addicts don't care about driving while intoxicated charges. They're doing heroin.
Number two, this plan to legalize drugs would give a social imprimatur to abuse such substances. Children would be led to try them. No. One cannot infer approval from mere legalization of an act or substance. Abortion, gambling, prostitution, alcohol, homosexuality, and other victimless ex-crimes are no longer criminalized offenses in civilized societies. But the attitude of society towards them is one of strict neutrality, not approval. Right now, addictive drugs have about them the lure of the forbidden. Youngsters are more likely to be tempted by them. Under legalization...
Especially when they hear things like marijuana's bad for you, and then they try it, and they find out, well, this isn't so bad. Then they hear heroin's bad for you. They're liable to not believe it, because...
Right.
I was taught when I was little about the boy who cried wolf, and I'm sorry, but our society's crying wolf about marijuana. That's just the long and the short of it.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Under legalization, no drug purveyors would hang around schoolyards as they do now and try to get kids to try their deleterious wares. And as he points out, the attitude of society and the government, because the people will come up with this objection all the time. Well, if we just legalize it, that's the government endorsing those things. Well, if that's true, then spray paint is legal, and so that must mean that the government is endorsing huffing. That's absurd.
Right.
No one's endorsing huffing. Gasoline is legal. No one's endorsing snorting it. Okay? Number three, another objection. Drug legalization would empty the city to an even greater degree than at present. There's one added benefit to New Orleans from implementing such a proposal. We'll have gained for ourselves a new bouncing baby industry. Just as Las Vegas evolved from a stretch of desert into a world-class city when it was only one thing to when it was the only one to offer gambling, so will the Big Easy surpass its previous preeminence when it alone offers legal drugs. The industry by itself will put us back on the map. Number four, objection. Well, the state and federal courts won't allow New Orleans all on its own to declare itself a free enterprise zone in this regard. So, even if legalization would radically reduce our local murder rate, we won't be allowed to implement it.
That's my objection.
Right now, like it or not, we are a tremendous burden on the rest of the state, and indeed the country. We could do far better on our own than with our palms up begging for charity. As well, the federales owe us big. The flooding was their fault of their Army Corps of Engineers that built the porous levees. It was their FEMA that added insult to injury in Katrina's aftermath by preventing others from rescuing us, while doing nothing much on its own in this regard. It would come with particularly ill grace for them to object to a plan that would, one, stop this horrid spate of murders in its cold tracks, and two, put us back on our feet, economically speaking.
No, I don't think that would stop them at all.
No, it hasn't stopped them in California, but it would stop them if someone had the courage to say, no feds allowed. You DEA people, come on our turf, come in the city of New Orleans, you'll be arrested. That would stop them. Number five, is it not scurrilous to be associated with such a product? New Orleans as the drug capital of the country is something that would disgrace us. I answer that it's far more debilitating to take on our present
role.
Wasn't
New Orleans essentially the alcohol capital of America previously?
Mardi Gras.
I mean, essentially people equated New Orleans
to parties.
People, topless women, topless drunk women.
People peeing in the streets, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. That's what they were known
for.
And
believe it or not, people kept coming there.
Yeah, because people like the idea of them being the alcohol capital of America.
He says, I answer it's more debilitating to take on our present role as the murder capital of the country on a per capita basis.
Mm.
Would you rather have blood running in the streets? Number six, objection. The Harrison Narcotics Act of 1917 was implemented for a good purpose, to save ourselves from the scourge of drugs.
Well, it's failed then, because in 1917 people weren't really doing drugs. They, you know, marijuana was almost completely unheard of, to the point that they were able to tell lies, awful, slanderous lies about marijuana and the people that do it. You know, people hadn't heard of drugs like cocaine. It's just, they were, you know, cocaine was around, but it was used for medical purposes. I'm sorry. No, the war on drugs has failed us. It has failed us miserably, and it's costing us our children.
As Block points out, has the war on drugs succeeded? Has the Harrison Narcotics Act of 1917 succeeded? Well, to ask the question is to answer it. I mean, if you have to ask the question, clearly it hasn't succeeded. people can purchase addictive substances in any major city in the country. No, this war has failed, like so many other such initiatives undertaken by the government. The motivation behind the legislation had nothing to do with protecting the public in any case. It was pure and simple a racist anti-Chinese measure in an attempt to criminalize them for using opium dens. Number 7. We're on the verge of winning the drug war. This isn't the time to cut and run.
On the verge of winning?
Absurd.
I mean, more people are using drugs than ever. On the verge of winning.
As Block points out, the drug war is an utter and abysmal failure, and necessarily so. Every time a successful interdiction occurs, drug prices and profits rise, and this only strengthens the drug gangs. They are impregnable to such tactics. New Orleans, let us legalize drugs.
You know, the thing is when you arrest a murderer, the murder, like a mass murderer, the murder rate goes down in town. When you arrest a burglar, the burglary rate goes down. But when you arrest a drug dealer, the drug dealing rate doesn't go down. Somebody just steps in his place because the profit is so high.
It's a market opportunity. Anyway, Block says, we've only to lose our title as a place where people are being shot down in cold blood en masse. Mayor Nagin, let's go free enterprise. We won't be a chocolate city. We'll be a drug city instead. Safer and a lot more prosperous. I think it's a great idea. I don't think it's going to happen in New Orleans anytime soon, but hopefully it will happen in New Hampshire. Hopefully the entire state of New Hampshire will finally come to its senses after legalizing marijuana and discovering that the state hasn't crumbled to hasn't fallen to pieces. Then we can take on other drugs and we can legalize those as well and show the world that drug legalization does work, that society does not crumble when drugs are legal. In fact, that people are safer than they've ever been in the past. Not only you and I, who may not use heroin, but also the heroin users will be safer as well. They won't get impure substances. They won't have overdoses from a dangerous black market product. There's so many reasons to legalize drugs. It's the only sensible thing to do.
Violent crime related to drugs would almost disappear. And overdoses would largely, at least accidental overdoses, would largely disappear. I'm sure there's some people out there that would say, oh boy, I can get as much heroin as I want because it's cheaper now that it's free. I'm going to die. I'm going to take as much as I want, and they'll die.
It wouldn't be free. It still costs money.
Did I say free?
Yeah.
Sorry. Not that it would be free.
Goodbye. Good riddance.
Yeah.
Darwin Award for you.
I'd rather somebody die from using heroin of their own choice than me or my wife have to die in order to, give them $50 so they can go get their next hit.
Exactly right. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And we wrap up another exciting and fun week of Free Talk Live, but another one starts Monday night, so join us then and join us online in the meantime where the conversation continues at freetalklive.com, and have a great weekend, everyone.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The sun used